Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, the one good thing about being on vacation last week is I did not have to see, and it's still going on. It happened earlier today with a starter last year at a particular school. Never heard the word transfer portal. And you know what? That word, that phrase is going to end up being worse for college football than anybody ever realized. And I get it. A lot of people want the players to have the rights to do whatever they want to. However, this thing's gotten into chaos in 1 year, and we're going to have to put some restrictions on it because, you know what, coaches did not go off are not having summer camp or getting ready to go on a quick vacation before media days to have to sit there and go, crap, which players do I need to re-recruit off last year's roster right now?
Yeah, I mean, the transfer portal, as I've said from the beginning, it's basically college's free agency type system, and that's not what it was meant for.
No.
And a lot of these guys are walking in to the NCAA to get their waivers granted and just making stuff up.
Yep.
Just so that they're eligible and they don't have to sit out a season, which I think makes it even worse because – then we've talked about this before. You've got players who have legitimate personal family reasons who have gotten denied a waiver, and you got guys like Justin Fields and some of the, and I'll use him because one of the best examples is he claims somebody said something to him on the team, and he gets an automatic waiver.
Well, my disgust took place last week when Luke Ford, the Georgia tight end that was transferring to Illinois. I mean, we're talking about transferring from the University of Georgia to the University of Illinois, who Lovie Smith may be on the hot seat more than any other major power coach right now. And they go, because you know, his grandfather is really sick, wants to see him play. Nope. And I'm actually proud of you of mentioning Justin Fields because you're an Ohio State fan. So, you know, all you people that wanted this, congratulations, you got it. Your coaches are freaking out in the fact that here they are on June 17th now finding out more guys that want to transfer out. Also, there's more people in the transfer portal than there are available scholarships. So, do the numbers game, what, you know, musical chairs. Eventually, somebody's going to be sitting out, not with a major scholarship, thinking they should have been, and they're going to go complain about it.
Yeah.
You know what? Plus, the number one thing with, like, free agency is how different social media is now. These are kids. So I'm sure there's plenty of coaches or behind-the-scenes scouts that's reaching out to these players like, hey, you're not playing. How about you come to my school? Via Twitter and Instagram.
Yep, and you know what? The NCAA doesn't have the manpower to enforce their own rules when it comes to the University of North Carolina or others skirting the issue. There's no way they've got the manpower to keep up with what's going on when it comes to a legitimate transfer or not. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody ever saw this coming. But it all started from, in the last couple of years, guys, seniors skipping bowl games. Then everything else became a lot easier. And guess who's having to deal with this again? Diesel, I guess it's that time of the summer where you have to invent a story on June 17th. But guess who had to go back out there once again and totally blow off the idea that he would sit out bowl games? Was Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence. People are telling him, well, you still can't play for two more years, but you don't have to play the games in the bowl season. And this is what Trevor Lawrence had to say. Asked specifically if he would consider sitting out in an effort to protect his health for an NFL future, Trevor Lawrence answered with two resounding no's. That's not in the cards, he says. Everyone's talking about that, but I don't really care. It's definitely not coming for me, and I just ignore it. I just keep working. Now, perhaps he's also thinking that Clemson will be in the next two college football playoffs. You know what I mean? But you know, he probably has a right to feel that way after what he did during his freshman year. But I'm sorry. I don't even like that. You know, I get it. I'm fuddy and duddy of this group. If I see you at a football reunion 20 years down the line and you chose to sit out that bowl game that was important to me and the rest of the group to protect, I'm going to be the guy that delivers the little jab. Oh, yeah, you remember that bowl game? Oh, that's right. You chose to sit it out. And you know what? I know I would do it, and I've already heard other players saying they'll do the same thing in 20 years. So it all started with sitting out bowl games, and now it's gone into gross free agency in a way that I'm afraid we're not going to be able to corral this back in.
Yeah, the NCAA is going to need to review this. I wish they would review it during – their next meetings, but that's probably not going to happen. Maybe in once the new year, they'll take a look at it. But it's something's got to be done. The rules got to change, and they've got to put some restrictions or parameters on it where you just can't turn around and say, hey, I thought I was going to have the starting job here. I got passed over, so now I'm going to go to another school. And, oh, by the way, I hurt my ankle 3 weeks in and didn't play the rest of the year. I should get granted a waiver. I mean, it's nonsense.
I think you got to go back to the past, Diesel, and I want your opinion. I think you have to go back and set the rules to what they were. If you graduate, then you can transfer and be eligible. I have no problem with that. You're doing what you're supposed to do. If it's a hardship case under the rules in which they put it in, hey, guess what? You can transfer. You're going to sit out a year. Outside of that, go back to the way it used to be. You can transfer. It don't matter what you say, you're not going to be immediately eligible.
Yeah.
Is that the way, Diesel, to go back to it? Because in the long run, I would feel like it'd be a lot worse to App State having to recruit players year to year than it is for the Clemsons and Alabamas.
Well, you have to define exactly what a hardship case is. Right now, it's entirely subjective. It's up to the person who's reviewing the case. And we don't know if it's five different people reviewing cases, if it's one person reviewing cases.
Yep.
I mean, if you have five different people whose job it is to look at these things, each one of them is going to look at each case through a different lens. So we don't really know. We have to know what the rules are before we can implement the rules. And right now, there really doesn't seem to be any rules. So it's all up in question, man. We don't know.
I just – my problem is, like I said, don't tell me now that we call college football, especially here in the South, or at least Power 5 football as a whole, old school NASCAR. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. You can't tell me that there's not a defensive backs coach at X University that's worried about his head coach getting fired next year or, you know, on the hot seat, which means 9 times out of 10, your butt's looking for a job as well, that hears some chatter. You know, So-So Williams at this university might be unhappy, and what if they're already reaching out to them while he's signed to another team? Dude, that's is that not what they called collusion back in the day when it came to pro sports, which trying to work out a deal with somebody else before you were able to do so? They stopped that in professional sports. They damn need to stop it when it comes to college.
Yeah, that's pretty much in the realm of collusion. Of course, the pro sports, they're under contract, but you're still up under a scholarship from a school. So if you're talking to other schools or recruiting another player that's under a scholarship, I don't see how that's any different from collusion.
I mean, or do you go back to the hold? Thank you, Diesel. Do you go back to the whole? Some schools are now saying it's a 4-year scholarship commitment, all right? And some schools say, no, scholarships are year-to-year and renewable. Do we have to come to a agreement on that's going to be the case here? We need some standardization. And if you choose to turn and walk away from a 4-year scholarship, your penalty is going to be sitting out 1 year. I don't know how to handle it, but I know this much. I don't think anybody in their right mind saw this coming just 1 year ago.
Well, for years, how long has there been a recruiting process, right? There's certain restrictions. Or a coach's representative, an assistant coach or somebody from the university, literally can't be going after players during certain times, or they can't be visiting during certain times, and that counts against you when they do visit, and all those machinations that they had back in the day.
Non-contact period.
Yeah. Now it's just literally just, hey, forget it. Everything's out the window. I'm gonna go. Hey, I've signed a letter of intent, but I'm gonna with Ohio State. But hey, let me go visit Iowa. This guy's talking a real good game. What is to say that basically halfway through a season now, a player is going to be like, I'm out of here. I'm going to go there.
Well, on the flip side, and I talked to a couple of students, they're going to turn around and say, well, what's the difference between that and a coach leaving a university?
Right.
Why should I commit to the school? Mm-hmm. Why I made a commitment to this coach and he's not really committed
because
to the school?
Because you did
as well.
It wrong to begin with. And I know it's real easy to say this, but I promise you one of the big messages that Adrian Branch gives every time he speaks is, you trust me, you are doing it wrong if you choose your school based on a particular coach. You choose your school based on if you get hurt where you want to be for the rest of your college year. Because the reality is, take a good long look at Coach A that you're in love with. He may not be there at the end of your career. I know that's easier said than done, but that really needs to be the way.
Just for an example, like Zeke Elliott. Zeke chose Ohio State particularly for Urban Meyer.
And the offense that they run.
Yeah, he was destined to go to Missouri like his parents, but because of Urban Meyer, he chose Ohio State.
Yep.
Yeah, so, same thing with defensive players. You choose, especially as a tackle or a linebacker or a defensive end, you're going to choose the school based on the defense that they run and the coaches that they have to help you, because your eye is on the prize of making it to the NFL. So why am I going to enter a 4-3 defense if I'm better in a 3-4? So I understand the argument you're trying to make, but at the same time, look at the player's perspective. As they're trying to do what's best for them.
Go be the best player you can be and quit worrying about your NFL career at 17 years old. Let that come when it comes. I get it, but most of the time, it's a dad that's involved in this process. All right, let's go to the phones. Jimmy patiently waited to the end of the break to talk Braves. Jimmy, I hope you're doing well. Good to hear from you.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Man, I tell you what, it's a Monday back from vacation. My apologies.
So do you have any saddle sores?
Yeah, I do. I really do. We went horseback riding, and let me tell you something. I did not have to stick my finger down the windpipe to get that horse to move.
Okay. All right, so going on to the Braves. Mm-hmm. They've got a mess with the pitching rotation right now, guys. I don't know how they've went on this winning streak. I mean, Max Fried has been getting hit hard lately. Folsnevich. Kevin Gausman, they finally sent him down. I think they've got him on the disabled list or something. I think they have to make a decision on which one of the two, with Folsnevich or Gausman, they want to put one in the bullpen and take the other one and trade along with Enciarte, since Austin Riley and Acuña Jr. has center field and left field locked up right now.
Well, I know this much. It sounds like when Dallas Keuchel starts on Friday night up in Washington that Kevin Gausman will be moved to the bullpen. So, the thing is they're 42-30. They're 2.5 games up. Now, the reality is with the bullpen blowing some stuff, they could be up 6 or 7 games more. But, you know, the thing is they don't have the money that the Cubs or the Yankees or everybody else has to go throw money. And I tell you what, everybody wants to bust on Double A. It's easier for me to call him that, Chris, than Alex Anthopoulos, all right? Even though it's a little bit easier to say than Giannis Antetokounmpo. But, you know, they know now that they need one guy in the bullpen. And the thing is don't forget, all other contenders are also looking for some of the same parts out there as well. So you can't just put pixie dust, you know, like Mickey Mouse and everything else. So at 42-30, 2.5 games up, having won 9 out of their last 10, there's no doubt, Jimmy, there are some places that Braves can improve on, but that's it. The beautiful part is they got the money to do it. They've got the moves to do it. And I come back to this. Getting Albies and getting Acuña for less than half of what the Phillies paid Bryce Harper, That's the move you can kiss double A's hand for, because that's the move that's going to give you some flexibility moving forward. So, again, 9 out of 10. The beautiful part is they can still get better, but it's kind of harder. The only way to be better than winning 9 out of 10 is to be perfect in your last 10, and that ain't going to happen a whole lot in baseball. All right, 844-GSP-ESPN. Clemson picks up the tight end they need for the 2020 class. But there was some interesting chatter on Twitter yesterday about, you can't call him little old Clemson anymore. I just gave Tyler and Chris a list. Maybe you can. We'll get into it. 844-GSP-ESPN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back in. We're live at Smoke on the Water. And I can tell you somewhere there's going to be smoke on the water or smoke on the in the football program. If they're not careful here real quick, that's going to be at Florida State. Because Willie Taggart did a really piss-poor job this past year. I had maintained, Tyler, you got to give me credit. I had maintained for years that DeAndre Francois was a bad guy. I met him up at ACC football kickoff. I could not believe that those guys brought DeAndre Francois as a sophomore to ACC football kickoff. He was a bad, mean, surly dude then, and he never changed, and nobody would pick him up as a transfer. You know, he's walking on at FAU. Now you got the guy that leads the team from the sideline last year, and it's the sophomore quarterback, James Blackman, all right? And he is your lead. So what do you do when it's now his job? Willie Taggart goes out and gets Alex Hornibrook in from Wisconsin. Hornibrook's coming to Florida State thinking, I want to play. I don't want to back up James Blackman. So you got some stuff going on there. But Clemson picks up the one more piece of the puzzle they needed earlier today for their 2020 recruiting class, and he is a tight end from Tallahassee, Florida, Sage Ennis. 6'4", 230, can grow, he can play. He chose Clemson over Florida State, Penn State, Miami, and others. Florida State had been on this guy in their hometown for 2 years. He comes up for Clemson football camp. Hangs out with DJ Ugalele and those guys, and guess what? He is committed to Clemson as of this morning, and now that is the third-time recruit right there in Florida State's backyard, guys. Clemson's just come in and taken away from him. I'm telling you, this leash for Willie Taggart may end up being shorter than anything we've seen at a school like that.
Well, I don't blame the kids. Looking at Florida State University, I would choose Clemson also.
I as well.
I mean, we're talking, this is the 18th commitment for our class. It's now ranked number one in the country by every recruiting analyst and group. And that's the one thing Clemson's never had before, a number one recruiting class. I mean, I think what the highest they've ever had is number six. So that means they're getting the coaching that they get on campus. But did y'all see what Scott Van Pelt had to say about Clemson the other day? And he said, after four straight ACC titles, four straight college football playoff appearances that include two national titles, he said more or less that Clemson couldn't really justify being called the little old Clemson anymore. Right? Little old Clemson's now one of the biggest, baddest names in the land, having won two out of the three national championships. And, of course, Clemson fans don't want to hear it, but the numbers actually would tell Scott Van Pelt, and y'all were both shocked because I gave you the list. Forbes just came out with the top 25 most valuable college football programs. And who's not on the list in the top 25?
Clemson.
Did that surprise y'all?
Shocked me.
Yeah, I figured they'd be in the top 25. I figured they'd probably be in the lower end, if anything. I knew most of the top 10 even before I saw the list, because it's just all the storied programs mm-hmm. that have been around for forever. Even your Alabama Crimson Tide, who just not, I mean, they made revenue of 127, but their profit's only $59 million. Putting that money under the table to get some of these recruits.
Either that or to build that big-ass palace for the football complex that they just built. But I would then say that take a look at your number five Ohio State Buckeyes right behind at 120 and 69. Y'all don't have anything to show for it except for 5 years ago. So, I get – but I was stunned that Clemson's not on this list.
Yeah.
Now, you know.
South Carolina's even on there.
Yeah, 15th. Exactly. But, Scott Van Pelt, you know, it's like, and then go look at Dabo Swinney and how much he's getting paid now, 10 years, $93 million. Dude, it means what they're doing is they're doing it with the resources. There's one team in the ACC on this top 25 list. And again, this is why I say Willie Taggart's leash at Florida State will be a lot shorter than some people think. Florida State's 17 on this list, the only ACC school on it.
Yeah. I mean, well, so think 10 years back. How many students were at Clemson?
Oh,
if you had to guess.
It's always been in that 20,000 with
now,
the
now how many,
what, it, they, it's right there at 23.
Still?
Yeah, they won't let it get too big because they would have to expand the campus and the residents and everything else, and they don't want to be in that realm of 50,000 and that kind of stuff. Right. So no, that's always been sort of a priority. And number two, they'll never be as big as the University of South Carolina. That's the other thing, because they're the engineering and architecture state. No, what I have said to people like my dad, who is a Clemson alum, and you go drive around campus at Clemson right now, even though he just signed a 10-year, $93 million contract, this will really upset some people on the left when it comes to politics. Dabo Swinney may be one of the more underpaid people in college football. And by that I say walk around and look at all the new building going up. And I'm not talking about just on campus when it comes to classroom and in residence halls and athletic facilities. I'm talking
tourism,
look around the edge of campus. All these brand new restaurants and all this stuff popping
some
off.
New condos going up.
Condos
soon.
Going up everywhere. Everybody likes to be around a winner. So I was blown away. So
well, listen, that's why you have 100,000 people in Columbus.
Because it's so big.
So everybody likes to be around a winner.
I really
until
thought
they play, until Ohio State plays the state of South Carolina. Oh, I forgot to send you your Father's Day card yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, something about the Palmetto State being the daddy of the OSU, OSU because you're 0-5 all-time against the Palmetto State.
Apparently, you're watching my Facebook
when
I sent the
daddy?
Michigan. I did that for Urban Meyer shaking Jim Harbaugh's hand and said – who's your daddy just wants to wish you a happy Father's Day.
Tell you, we got you a free pair of pants on layaway at Walmart. waiting on you. But all right, so getting back to the question before we get out. Most people, can you still, if you're not in the top 25 of 130 schools when it comes to college football, and this is according to Forbes magazine, can't you still play the little Clemson card if you want to?
No.
Okay.
No, because you're in an elite
program. Those days are over.
Yeah,
but you've been a consistent top five team for what, 6-7 years in a row at this point.
It's been 10 really
10?
Since 4th and 16 with Todd's boy. Yeah. So I mean, I tell you what, we'll look at some of this revenue when we come back. There's a few teams on here that ought to be freaking embarrassed. I mean, absolutely. One hasn't won a national championship that I know of. One hasn't won one in over a decade, and the third has won a half of one in the last 30 years. Yet, guess what? They're your three highest, most valuable college football programs, according to Forbes magazine. So that's why I'm saying Clemson fans enjoy this. Enjoy it. Same thing for Bama. You are, I found out last week on that cruise ship, hanging out with a lot of other people, there is a certain amount of fatigue involved when it comes to those two schools. But they said, what can you do until you beat them? And I looked at them and I said, exactly. 844 GSP ESPN. Bring it to a straight up. Also, I'm tired of SEC beat writers knocking on Clemson. I'm an SEC guy. Remember, the school I went to beat everybody minus Georgia in the SEC championship game last year by a minimum of 24 points. According to Forbes, these are your most valuable college football teams. Number one, Texas A&M. Do they have a championship in the last 50 years? Now, they have a great story, based on Bear Bryant being head coach, that they turned into a movie, The Junction Boys. But outside of that, I would say either winning a Heisman Trophy by Johnny Manziel or Jackie Sherrill beating Notre Dame in the Cotton Bowl that year. That's been their two big moments at Texas A&M.
Yeah, but you got to remember, they're also in Texas.
Yep.
I mean, Texas is a football, born, bred, eat, sleep, drink from
Pee-wee.
From the age of six.
Yeah.
You are breathing football. So I think that's part of that as well. And the fan base is so strong, and there's so many people in Texas. I mean, Texas is the second largest populous state in the country.
So what you're doing is giving more excuses for why they should be raising a title at number one. I mean, revenue of $148 million, profit of $107 million. That's 15 more in revenue than Texas. And $20 million more in profit. At least Texas has a national title in the last decade to show for it. But I would say that they have underachieved with the amount of money that they have.
Yeah, I'm really surprised A&M is over Texas.
Closer to the coast with that oil and gas money. Number two, A&M stands for agriculture and mechanical. And let me tell you, right now the money is in the engineering aspect out there in the Gulf of Mexico. Texas is more your liberal arts school, if you will. But number one's A&M, number two's Texas, and then number three, the Michigan Wolverines. I mean, they got a half a national championship in the last 40 to 50 years that they shared with, Colorado that year.
But is the Big House the largest stadium in
yes,
the country college-wise?
As far as I know, I think it might still be.
It might still be. Penn State was their last little one.
They're getting up to the 104, 105. Yeah. Okay. But, I mean, obviously I love ripping on the Wolverines. They are, revenue-wise, profit-wise, they are $6 million more than Ohio State Buckeyes, but they haven't beat them. Well, in how many years?
Michigan just signed a deal with Team Jordan last year, too. So there's more income coming in.
Well, you know, the thing is again, I just go back and look because these numbers have been so – I mean, is there more – which of those three programs has been more disappointing? Because I would have to say that Texas would be the best of the three because they have Vince Young in that Heisman Trophy and one of the greatest title games I've ever witnessed.
Yeah.
So, number four, Alabama's gotten their money's worth.
Absolutely.
Number five, Ohio State's pretty much gotten their money's worth.
Well, all their money went to Urban.
Yep.
And they still made $70 million.
Yep.
And they still.
Number six is Oklahoma. They've gotten their money's worth.
Absolutely.
This is where I got a little surprised. Notre Dame at number seven. How are they not number three on this list behind the Texas schools, considering they have their own national network in NBC?
They're pocketing so much.
Do you realize
how much money you think is going to the church? They're an Irish Catholic school. They're giving money to the Catholic Church.
This is football revenue. So my point being, do you realize how many
somebody's got to pay for them paintings?
How many four-leaf clovers or little Billy fighting Irish tattoos I saw on even a Disney cruise last week, and I wanted to go up to them and go, how many days did you ever go to class in South Bend? Because, you know, if you're Catholic, you are therefore required to pull for Notre Dame football in your top two. Yeah. I think that is one of our Bill of Rights here in this cut. But, yeah, I'm telling you, Notre Dame's got fans that got tattoos on them that you know. So I just thought that a new Texas A&M and Texas were 1 and 2. I was surprised when it came to football only, Notre Dame went number 3.
Yeah, that kind of surprises me, but at the same time, they don't have a big stadium.
Yep.
It's not as big. I think it holds maybe 60.
It was 60, and then they jumped it up a little bit.
Right, so maybe 70 now?
Yeah, it's about 70.
Yeah, so, I mean, the revenue that's coming in, and also some of these schools that are on the list are allowed to sell alcohol, whereas some of them on the list are not.
Yeah,
one of them being Notre Dame. Notre Dame is not allowed to sell alcohol.
Yeah, the SEC schools are allowing it to happen this year. Texas right. A&M's the first one to jump in with both feet. Now, rounding out the top 15, this is the SEC network pretty much paying off. You got Auburn number 8, LSU 9, Florida 10, Tennessee 11, 12's Oregon, 13 Arkansas, 14 Penn State, 15 South Carolina. What I found absolutely amazing, and this ought to make Gamecock fans mad, look at 15 and 16 and tell me who's having the better run right now.
Oh, 16, way better run.
Number 15, South Carolina Gamecocks, $90 million in revenue, 50 of it, it becomes profit. Number 16 is Georgia, $89 million in revenue, yet $55 million in profit. So you're one spot in front of the team in your division that's beating you badly right now in Georgia. How do you go justify that when you look at the numbers? First of all, you do it by Georgia's legacy.
Well, somebody's paying Will Muschamp way too much money, apparently.
All right, 17's Florida State, 18's Southern Cal, 19 is Washington, 20 is Nebraska, 21 Ole Miss, 22 Michigan State, 23 Iowa, 24 Wisconsin, 25 Texas
Tech. This is where the Big Ten network comes into play.
So my point being, shame on all of y'all. Shame on all of us, if you will. And that includes my Alabama, your Ohio State, and Tyler. Clemson is now one of the standard bearers in college football, yet they don't find themselves on this list whatsoever. Number one, it goes to show you some people are flat out better at what they do than others. And Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban are better at their jobs than Jim Harbaugh is. It's not saying Jim Harbaugh's a terrible coach. It's just saying Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban are better coaches than Jim Harbaugh is.
Yes,
and the numbers suggest it.
I would agree.
That's something that we should and have to deal with every day in life moving forward. Some people, why do you play the game if you don't keep score? No. Some people in life are flat out better at what they do than what others are. But, you know, in this day and age, you got to be careful because that means you make too much money.
Yeah, what Clemson is doing, not being on this list, remind me of, like, how the Patriots spend their money. They never spend a lot in the cap room, but yet they're the best in the NFL every single year.
Well, and I don't know, how much of this is IPTE money?
You know what IPTE stands for, right?
I pay 10 grand.
It started with I pay $10 a year. It is actually one of the oldest fundraising organizations out there. That most Tide Pride came in and studied 20 years ago. You know, for how small a school Clemson is,
right. Their
IPTE donorship is absolutely next level. But, yeah, it's not I paid 10 athletes yearly. It stands for I pay 10 a year. And it started, I think, right after World War II. And, again, don't knock it. I'm not saying you.
No, people
shouldn't knock Iptake, because I guarantee you your school has come in and studied their model sometime in the last 30 years. And when you do something first and you do it that good, that's why people come in and study, and that's why people are coming in and studying under Nick Saban and Bill Belichick at New England, and just some people, including Dabo Swinney, are that much better at what they do. All right, we'll come back. We'll close up shop. What's the craziest thing that happened to you last week? You last week. Me last week. 844-GSP-ESPN, because I got a couple of bombs to drop on y'all on a couple of things that I ate. I'm serious. I ate a couple of things that came home going, I didn't really do that. We'll give it to you on the way back straight up. All right, welcome back in. I'll be back in studio with Diesel tomorrow. I can tell you we'll be catching in with our buddy Matt Mershell, the college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. He's at number 68 today in his college football top 130. So what's the weirdest thing that happened to you last week? Because mine was getting in the office this morning and seeing that the U.S. women's national soccer team was getting thrown under the bus for beating, what was it, Thailand last week?
Yeah, 13-0, and everybody complaining that they beat them by too much.
But then you hear today that Megan Rapinoe and all the start rested during that game. So what are you supposed to do? Tell these kids, what's more embarrassing, telling them not to score, not to do anything, or do it? Because I don't know if y'all saw today, Thailand this morning turned around and lost to Sweden 5-1. Yeah. But did you see their coach and assistant coach? When they scored the goal, they were literally in tears, you know what I mean? And that's how much one goal meant to this team. So that was kind of the weird thing for the week is we just beat down people when we feel like they're too successful right now. And we need to stop doing it. We need to stop doing it. Weirdest thing that happened to you last week, Tyler?
Well, I got a call out of nowhere from ESPN LA. That shocked. It was extremely weird to me. Little old me getting a call like that. So it was unexpected, but at the same time, very
they wanted
very
to know
cool.
Where you gotten some info?
They wanted me to confirm all the KD information.
Uh-huh. So KD is out for the entire year. So every day in your life, something weird happens.
Well, if I told you the real weird thing that happened, my wife would probably kill me.
Okay.
Because it involved adult beverages.
So,
you know, that couldn't go right. But – weirdest thing is I got a puppy. He's about 9 months old, and this is non-sports related. So I have a deck, and I let him out on the deck to go to the bathroom on Wednesday night when I got in. It was about 11:30, and I open the sliding glass door, and he goes to trot out, and I look in my backyard, and two coyotes
yes.
are walking through my backyard. I've never moved so fast to grab my dog, who is halfway down the stairs, and toss him back into my house and close the door, and then go shoo off these crazy coyotes.
We got coyotes in our neighborhood. They have been using our street like a Chi-Chi's pizza buffet for cats. So, Diesel, you were like, I got to get in on this. So, next. So, Diesel, what's yours?
Well, I did a show with a guy named Pants.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it was a pants party.
Imagine going on the air with shirt. Or going on the air with underwear. I don't know. I mean, he calls himself Pants.
It is a party when Pants is around. That's why we call him Pants Party. But y'all did great. Listen, this is what I did weird last week. I tried a couple of dishes, all right? I fell in love with one. The other that people think are some delicacy. Any of you people out there that think escargot is some kind of delicacy, be my guest, because something that you have to put that much butter and garlic on to slither down the back of your throat must not taste like anything anyways. I had one and will never have another. So I will leave y'all the escargot, okay? But what I tried that blew my mind was oxtail soup. All right, now, if you watch Triple D, Guy Fieri's a big oxtail guy. Well, I kind of figured out it's sort of like pulled pork. So what it was in this deep broth of burger. So I tried a couple things outside my comfort zone and did not hate them. But the escargot, again, I don't know. I mean, dude, it comes out. It smells so good with all that butter and garlic, and then you realize there's snails underneath there.
Maybe we could get Mike or Alice to get some oxtail.
I'd be, man, and maybe Disney would share. I mean, even my brother, who's, I've had everything great on this earth, was like, that's good. That's good. So I had a couple of shocking things. Also, I got to share this one. We had that guy on our trip. That guy on our trip, which, listen, men, I'm sorry, unless you're swimming in the Olympics, leave your, and it wasn't even a Speedo bathing suit.
Banana
it was
hammock?
A, yes, but it was it was an arena swimming suit, not different than Speedo. Dude, if you aren't representing your country in the upcoming Olympic trials, when you're standing in line for the aqueduct on the Disney Cruise Line, please don't have your Speedo on. There's kids in line, you know. None of us want to see that, man. You know, granted he was European or something, because
they
weren't speaking English.
They love banana
hammocks. When you come over here to do our cruise lines, please leave your Speedos at home, because the 12 and 13 year old girls can only turn their heads away for so long, you know what I mean? So there was that guy on the cruise ship last week, and it always has to be someone that's also 20 to 30 pounds overweight that doesn't need to be wearing.
That's got his belly hanging out.
The second thing I would tell, this is what I figured out going through the airport. Comfort when you're getting through an airport should be a large factor. You know what I mean? But not everybody now needs to wear these little tight, not spandex pants, women. You know what I mean? The
leggings.
Leggings. Not everyone needs to share all yoga their pants. Information in the public airport at any given time. You know what I mean? I want everybody to be happy. But when you're sharing that kind of information in the airport, don't think people aren't paying attention, all right? So these are some – I came back with like a list of 10, you know what I mean? So also, for that guy who thinks that just because you're international and you come from over in the islands, by that I mean either Japan or China or something, it doesn't mean you don't have to stand in line on the Disney cruise ship.
What?
We had one – it was one family that decided they were either Japanese, Chinese, somewhere over from the Far East. They must own all of it. They will walk right up to the front of the line. Didn't matter. They, like, get their pictures taken with characters, and they would use not being able to understand the language to their advantage. No, they thought so highly of themselves that they didn't think the rules applied to them. Now, then there was that guy, all right? On the Disney Cruise Line, it's pretty cool. They got a couple of stations set up, free soft serve ice cream whenever you want it.
Sweet.
I can imagine all the kids that came home to realize, I can't go get 8 ice cream cones today.
Either that or their stomachs were killing.
That. But they also, outside the buffet where you go get breakfast, maybe lunch, had a treat shop. I spent as much money there as I did in the bar, and I'll explain why. But in that treat shop, they had homemade ice cream, gelato. Well, this one guy comes in the first day, starts raising hell because ice cream wasn't free. And he had been told that it was free ice cream. And they're like, oh, we got the soft serve stands. You got like 6 flavors. He goes, that's not the ice cream I want. I want that. Sir, this is an add-on shot. No, I was told. Literally, first day of the cruise, proceeded to make a jackass of himself over free ice cream. So you can even see it happen on the Disney ship. But Tyler, make sure you get followed at My Sports Culture and check out the website. You got some cool information coming up. Chris Smith, 1980. We'll see you in studio for a minute on Friday with presidential candidate Tim Ryan in studio with this for a segment. But Diesel, I can't wait to get back on air with you in the studio tomorrow and let it rip. We'll have Matt Marshall and a few more things as well. But thanks for letting me butcher today. I promise you tomorrow will be better. Have a blessed evening. We'll do it again at 4 p.m.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.